So the NFL team playbook. Each team has one, guides the players to the plays they need to make to win the game. That's what we've been talking about this month. It helps them to do the right thing at the right time, in the right circumstances, to end up on the right side of the scorebook, hopefully, at the end of the day. And it guides them through all of the choices that they have to make throughout the game. The game is constantly changing. There's an ebb, there's a flow, there's different situations that you're going to be facing. And you have to make the right choice at the right time in order to execute the play to the best possible outcome. And you know, when you get into a late game, close game situation, they're facing a critical play. They need to know what to do, and they need to know how to execute it well. They can't be going back to the book and looking up a play and figuring out how to do it. They've got to know how to execute in that moment. But that's just a game, right? I mean, it's just football. Although I have to admit, there are times when I'm watching that I forget that it's just a game, usually when I'm throwing things at the television and I'm screaming at the referees and the players. But there are far more serious decisions that all of us face in our lives. We're faced with all the time on a daily basis. What do I do? Where do I go? Should I wait? Relationships, finances, morality, ethics, career. And in the course of all of our lifetimes, even in the course of a single day, we are making major, major decisions that will not only affect our lives, but the lives of countless others around us and even for generations to come. No pressure, church. You got this. It's easy, right? I mean, everybody knows what to do every time they're faced with a decision. We just intuitively say, yes, this is the right call, and we don't agonize over it, and we don't think about it again and again and again and rethink our decisions and go back and say, should I have done that? None of us do that, right? We're all fantastic expert decision makers. Of course not. How can we ever know what is the right decision? And we'll come back to that in just a few minutes. But we are now halfway through, as a church, our trilogy playbook reading plan, where we're taking 31 days and we're reading through all of the Gospels together. And we're reading through the Gospels in that 31-day period, and it's been going great. People are interacting on Trilogy Life, which is our Facebook group. If you're not a part of that, just open up Facebook, type in Trilogy Life in the search bar, say join the group, and we'd love to have you be a part of our online community there. They're posting about what God is showing them, commenting on one another's posts. And in addition to posting their favorite verses from the readings and what that had meant to them, listen to what some people had to say to me about what's about this whole exercise that we're doing together. Somebody said, I actually look forward to my homework every night. This was such a great idea. Now, hopefully you don't think of reading the Bible as homework, like it's a chore, but hey, you got to start somewhere, right? Number two, thank you for the challenge. We look forward to reading the next chapter every day. This person said, I am enjoying reading the Bible every day and keeping myself responsible for doing it every day. I enjoy reading and listening on the computer. It seems to sink in better that way. And then finally, this person said, I finally found a really good version that I can understand. I think we should do this every month. And here's the thing. You can. There is nothing that says at the end of this 31 days, the Bible goes back on the shelf. In fact, that's kind of counter to what we're after here, church. I hope you guys got that. That at the end of this 31 days, this hopefully will have birthed the beginning of a habit forming in your life to prioritize the Word of God and to be reading this on a regular basis. That it is a good, healthy, and necessary habit for all of us to have. But we've still got 2 weeks to go on this challenge, so if you have not jumped in yet, there is still plenty of time. Join us on this 31-day challenge. You can grab a sheet at the Welcome Center on your way out today if you want. Just head over to Trilogy Life, download a copy of the reading sheet there. It's got a PDF that you can just have and keep it on your computer. And don't forget to check back and read what other people are posting about it. Post some thoughts of your own. What is God showing you? It's a great way to stay accountable to one another and encourage one another as we go through the Gospels together. Now, I want to share a passage with you this morning that isn't from our reading, since that's focused on the Gospels, and this is from Proverbs, but it's one of my favorite sections in the entire Bible, and I know it is for some of you as well. It's one a lot of people know and love, and it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this is what it says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. What a great couple of verses from Proverbs. Trust God with everything you've got. It begins there. Trust God with everything you've got. Put your trust completely and wholly in Him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He will show you which way to go. We started off here talking about the decisions that we have to make in life and how difficult and sometimes overwhelming they are to us, especially those potentially life-altering decisions like college and career and marriage and kids and all of those relationship messiness things that happens in our lives. Sometimes the decisions that are associated with those can be incredibly difficult and agonizing to make. And this verse tells us that God will show us which path to take. He will show us the right ones. And that's pretty incredible. We're not in this alone. God did not just spin us off and say, okay, human creation, go figure it out. He said, I will be with you. He says, I will help you. I will guide you. And here it says, I will show you which path to take. We don't have to do it alone. It's a great verse for us when we're lost in the maze of decision making and we need guidance in our lives. But here's the thing, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, these two verses do not stand alone. They are not by themselves in the Bible. You don't turn the page, see 3, 5, and 6, and then turn the page to the next passage. They have others around them. They're tied to the verses that come right before them. That's called context. You have to read them with the other verses around them to understand what are they really saying to us. And so I want to take a look this morning at what the four verses at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 3 say to us. And this is Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years, and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. And then comes trust in the Lord with all your heart, dot, dot, dot. That comes after this section. It comes after. In fact, it now makes more sense. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? What are we trusting God with? We're trusting God with our heart, but what are we required in verses 1 through 4 to do with our heart? It helps us contextualize what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 means. What does 1 through 4 say? It says to store His commands in your heart, to write them deep in your heart. What is God telling us to do? He's telling us to memorize Scripture. He's telling us to get His Word embedded deep in our hearts, deep in our minds, that it becomes a part of us. That it's not just something that we carry with us. It's not just an app that sits on our phone and we open up from time to time. It is in us. It is a part of who we are as a person. And it is the prerequisite for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart which now has the Word of God imprinted on it that is stored deep within it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. He will show you which path to take. It is the if before the then. It is the conditional clause in before Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's how we get our hearts to align with God's, is to memorize Scripture. Because here's the thing, you can't be moving in the same direction with God if you aren't aligned with God. You can't be moving in the same direction as God if you aren't aligned with God. There's a powerful theme that runs through the Bible, and it deals with alignment, and it deals with unity. And it's important that we line up with God and even with one another. But here's the thing, and I've talked about this recently, is that we don't have to worry about being in alignment with one another. All we have to do is align ourselves with Jesus. And if we're both aligned with Jesus, we're going to be in alignment with each other as well. We need to line up with God and His Word. In fact, listen to the prayer that Jesus prayed as He was on His way to the cross. This is one of Jesus' final prayers on this earth. He stops in John 17, 20 and 21, and this is how He prays. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. He's praying for you here. He's praying for me. He says, I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and I pray they may be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. What this tells us is that our alignment with Jesus and our alignment with one another and the unity that the world sees in the church, guess what? That doesn't always happen. When the world looks at the church, a lot of times they see chaos and disorder and infighting and all sorts of problems. But this verse says that when the world looks at the church and they see the alignment that Jesus prayed for, then they will know that Jesus is the Messiah. They will know that he was sent from heaven. In other words, God, let them be in alignment just like you and I are, perfectly. There's no pull to the left or the right. If you've ever driven a car where the alignment was off and your car is just like constantly drifting and you're like counter-steering to try to keep it going straight, it's a problem. And it causes undue wear on the car. It causes mechanical problems. It causes wear on the tires. But when we are in alignment, there's no fighting. We're in perfect alignment, moving forward in unity. And you see, here's the key. You can't be just close. You have to be in perfect alignment. Because you can be close and not be in alignment. Off a little bit is not alignment. Over time, it becomes more and more clear and the problems become magnified. October 31st, 1983, there was a Korean airliner that left Alaska to go back to Korea. And the crew did not realize that the computer had made a 1.5 degree navigational error. 360 degrees on the clock. 1.5 degrees is not that far off. But not that far off becomes bigger over time. At the time of departure, it's unnoticeable. Even after 100 miles of travel, you can barely see it. But after thousands of miles, that small error became hundreds of miles off from their initial destination. They ended up over Soviet airspace. Fighter jets scrambled to intercept, and they shot the plane out of the sky, killing all who were aboard. A little bit off matters. Because the longer you stay out of alignment, the further you will get from where God is, from where God is going, and from where he wants you to be. We need to be in alignment. And you can't work really hard and get yourself aligned with God. I can't try really hard and get myself aligned with God. You can't fake it. How can we ensure that we are in perfect alignment with God? Store his word in our hearts. Store his word, write his word deep in your hearts. That is how you will get into alignment with God. The passage we read from Proverbs 3 talks about store his commands in your heart. It's a throwback to something every Hebrew would have been able to grasp, the Ark of the Covenant. When Moses brought the tablets to them on which God had written the original commandments that he had given them, they stored them in this golden ark. And they carried the ark everywhere they went. It went before them as they traveled. It went before them into battle. It was carried by the high priest in front of the procession whenever they moved to a new location. It was everything to them. They carried God's law with them wherever they went. The Ark of the Covenant went with them, and in it was stored the Word of God. It kept them aligned with God, with who he is, with what he values. And they knew that if they stayed true to that, nothing could stop them. But this verse in Proverbs goes further than that. You see, the ark was community-based. It was all of them together in alignment. And that is important. Jesus prayed for that. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is highly valued. We need to have communal alignment with God. But now what we need to do is Proverbs makes it now personal. It's now your responsibility. You write it deep within your heart. Make it personal to you. We need to carry God's word with us, but not relegate the responsibility to the pastor. Let him carry the word of God around with him, and then he can tell us what it says when the time arises. He'll tell us what God's word means. Hey, pastor, can you help me here? Because I really need to know what to do. And there's nothing wrong with coming to people in the body of Christ and asking for advice and getting godly wisdom. That's okay. But it's not a substitute for you knowing God's word and for God showing his truth to you and leading you personally. You need to own your personal relationship with God. It's bigger than just the corporate. It is now you. You need to store it in your heart. Carry it everywhere you go. God's word will help to keep you aligned. And this is how we get direction. This is how Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 works. Listen to it again now that we've talked about the other verses and see if you can grasp the totality of this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. It's an entirely new way of looking at these verses. It's all about God's word. It's all about His truth. The Bible functions like the axles on a car. It keeps the wheels together, spinning together, moving in the same direction. God is the standard for that. He's the one moving in the direction we want to go, and our goal is to experience life according to His plan for us. And if we're going to be able to do that, we've got to get in alignment with His word. And according to Proverbs 3, all of Proverbs 3, we need to store that word in our hearts, write them deep within our hearts. We need to memorize Scripture. It's the only constant. When they align the wheels on your car, what do you think they align them to? They align them to the surface, to the ground, where it's going to be rolling. They don't pull against one another, so they don't pull against one another when they're in contact with the ground. The ground doesn't change. It's stationary. It's not moving. The wheels need to be in perfect alignment to the ground so they don't wear the wrong way and cause problems. We need to be in alignment with that which does not move, and that is God. God is unchanging. We're not, when we align ourselves with God, we're not meeting God in the middle. We're saying, God, you know, I'm willing to come this far. Would you be willing to come the rest of the way and meet me here? You know, because that's quite a long way to go, God. I'm not sure I want to change that much. When we change or when we align ourselves with God, we're moving ourselves to get in line with His word, with His principles, with His desires. And without Scripture rooted deep within our hearts, we're never going to be able to do that. I cannot stress how important it is that we memorize Scripture and how important that is in the life of someone who is following Jesus. It may be the most important thing that you do to keep yourself on the right path. And if you're still not convinced, listen to another passage from Proverbs, Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. Follow my advice, my son. Always treasure my commands. Obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. God is wanting to drive this point home to us, church. This is not just a one-time mention in Scripture. You see it again and again and again. We need to memorize Scripture. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. Guys, this is not extreme. This is not for super Christians. You know, it's like, wow, they memorize Scripture. They're a whole nother level of Christ follower. No, this is for the garden variety, traditional Christ follower. This is what we are supposed to do. Memorize Scripture. This is normal. And I know it's hard to memorize. I know it is. I know most of you have a very difficult time memorizing. In fact, I want to confirm that with you this morning. Now, you got to work with me here. You got to help me prove a point on how hard memorization is, okay? So I'm going to start something, and I want the rest of you to keep going with it, okay? Now, loudly speak this out. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the republic Okay, I knew none of you can memorize. Okay, now one more. What is on a Big Mac? Two all-beef patties. All right, I know now that none of you can memorize. I get it. It's impossible. We'll never be able to memorize anything as long as we live. Guys, it's the ingredients of a fast food hamburger. Come on. And we can poll people in churches all across America, and I would bet I could get more people who could name the ingredients on a Big Mac than could quote me 5 verses from Scripture. I'll let that sink for just a second. And if you still think it's impossible, consider this. In Bible times, Jewish children from ages 6 to 12 were expected to memorize the entire Torah. That is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, all of them memorized. 6 to 12-year-old children. You want me to paraphrase that one for you? Quit your whining. That's what that means. Reading the Bible without any memorization or meditation on it is like skipping a rock. It stays on the surface without ever going deep. We've all read stuff and never had it make an impact. When you were in college or in high school and you were cramming for tests, for example. Yeah, you got it. You got it in you, and you regurgitated it the next day, and it never came back again. It's gone. Poof. And they give you a degree for that. I don't get it. But memorization requires focus, intentionality, and dedication to have it sink in. So I want to take a few minutes this morning, and here we go. We're going to get real practical again. I'm going to tell you how to make scripture memorization easy. I don't care how hard it is for you personally to memorize, you will be able to make it happen. And my goal is that everyone here would be able to walk out of here this morning with a plan to memorize scripture, and that you would begin today. Start memorizing scripture. So, how to memorize a verse. Number one, pick a verse that is significant to you. Now, you can memorize anything. I get that. It's not required here. But start with something important to you. Memorize something that will have an impact or that has had an impact on you previously. Okay, so start with some verses there. Now, number two, say the reference before and after the verse. That's the hardest part to memorize. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people. Yeah, the Bible says this. I have no idea where it is, but it's in the Bible somewhere, and it says this. Okay, the reference is probably the hardest part to memorize. And so you want to say that before and after the verse that you're memorizing. Okay, so start Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So you want to bookend it with the scripture reference. So you're doubling up on that. And here is the key. This is the trick. So don't tell anybody this. Okay, this is deep, dark, private trilogy secrets here. This is how you memorize scripture. Read the verse aloud 10 times a day. Okay, we're done. Read it aloud 10 times a day, every day for 4 weeks. Read the verse aloud 10 times a day, every day for 4 weeks. Now, maybe you're wondering, how can scripture be memorized just by reading it? Maybe an illustration here will help you. Over the years, how many song lyrics have you memorized? Eight. Okay, good. a lot. It's ridiculous how many song lyrics we have rumbling around in our heads up here. And it's not like you printed out the song lyrics and carried them around with you and studied them. You didn't like sit there and actively work towards memorizing these song lyrics. How did you learn them? You simply listened to the words of the songs many times for a period of weeks or months, and your mind memorized the words for you. Your brain is the most powerful computer ever designed, and it will do the work if you just feed it the right input. And if you're feeding it to all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, that's what's going to come out. But if you're feeding it God's word on a regular basis, that's what's going to come out. So why 4 weeks? I mean, 10 times a day, every day for 4 weeks, that's a long time. Yes, it is. Can't a verse be learned in just a day or two? And here's the danger. Yes, it can. In fact, a person can sometimes learn a verse in just one sitting, but they probably won't remember it very long if they stop there. Remember what we talked about before, cramming? That's what you're doing. The more time is needed to cement that verse in your memory so you can remember it for years to come. Because here's the thing, memorization means a lifetime, not just a moment. The key to memorizing scripture is not just so you can have it for a day or two and be able to say, hey, look what I memorized, blah, 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 and then it's gone 2 days later. But when you continue this over a path of 4 weeks, 28 consecutive days, where you are reciting that same verse 10 times a day out loud. And here's the thing, out loud is important. Very important. Because you're reading it with your mind, you're speaking it with your mouth, you're hearing it with your ears. All of your senses are engaged in that moment, and you're triggering different parts of your brain, and it helps. So you need to read it out loud. Now, if you're like riding the bus, you know, I mean, use discretion, lest people think you're weird. But hey, if people are going to think I'm weird, I'd rather have them think I'm weird for Jesus than for another reason. So that's okay. But read it out loud 10 times every day for 4 weeks. Read it out loud. Write the verse on a 3x5 card and carry some cards with you at all times for review. Now, once again, why write it out? Because you're engaging yet another part of your brain in the process of writing it out. And carry these with you. Put them in prominent places. Your mirror, your computer monitor, not the visor on your car. Please. I've heard pastors say that before. I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to kill your people. Okay? I don't want you reading these scripture cards while you're sitting in your vehicle. Unless you're on the passenger side, then have at it. Side benefit of doing this, you will always memorize the verse word for word. There's no paraphrasing here. You're not saying, well, it says something like this. This is what God's word says. Now, here's for those of you that may be musically inclined, put the verse to music. Write a song about it. Now, this is going to be a very transparent moment for me. I'm 44 years old. When I was 10 years old, I was in a ministry called Royal Rangers. Yeah, this was 34 years ago, and I think 10 years old, I was probably I don't know if I was a pioneer or a buckaroo or I don't know what I was. But I was 10, and we wore little uniforms, and we did drills and tied knots and went on camping trips and all that kind of stuff. And we had one guy, his name was Henry, and he taught us scripture. And one of the things he taught us, he had us memorize Psalm 1. And this was back even before the NIV, I think, was even in existence. So all you learned was King James. And I memorized Psalm 1, but he wrote a song and taught us the song. And that's how we memorized Psalm 1. And to this day, I cannot hear Psalm 1 without hearing this song. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not. It doesn't actually say it twice in the Bible. That was just the song. In the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Blessed is the... And then it goes on. So, yeah. 34 stinking years that has stayed with me. It haunts me. It won't go away. But I'm telling you, there's power in that. That scripture won't go away. And you can go and get scripture memory songs. And yes, 90% of them are written for children, which is a good thing because children's music is infectious. Everything is awesome. Let it go. Thank you. Oh, that, or no, you're welcome, not thank you. That stinking song from Moana, it just won't go away. I'm telling you, kids' music gets in your head and you can't get it out. So it works for scripture too. It's a good thing. But put it to music. There's nothing wrong with that. Get a partner so you can check each other. Your spouse is a great person for this. Another friend. Know you're going to be checked on. It's accountability. I suggest you begin with 2 new verses a week. Now get this. If you started with 2 verses a week, at the end of a year, you would have 98 scripture verses memorized. Now, I know you're thinking, wait, 2 a week, that's 104. No, because you wouldn't have read those last ones for a period of 4 weeks yet at the end of the year, so you can't count those yet. They're not memorized. So you would have 98 at the end of a year. At the end of 5 years, you would have 490 verses of Scripture memorized. Now, you want to get aggressive? You say, I'm going to do 10 verses every week. Read these 10 verses 10 times a day. That's some work. At the end of a year, you'd have 490 scriptures memorized, at the end of 5 years, you would have 2,450 verses of scripture committed to memory, stored in your heart. That would be nearly one-tenth of the entire Bible in 5 years. Guys, it's possible. And it works. Whether you want to memorize John 3:16 or all of John 3, reading it 10 times a day for 4 weeks will put it deep in your heart and you will own it. And as the worship team comes back up, let me ask you the question, why should we memorize? Because here's the thing, God's word in us transforms us from the inside out. It's so important that we want to live the kind of lives that we are, that is pleasing to God and in alignment directionally and missionally with who God is and his character and where he wants to lead us, then we have to change. And I'm not talking about changing what you do. Stop doing the bad things, start doing the good things. That's not what I'm talking about here. That's behavior. God is not as much concerned with changing your behavior. It's deeper than that. You see, compliance takes place on the outside. Change takes place on the inside. What's the difference? Compliance is slowing down because you see a speed trap. Change is driving the speed limit all the time because you know it's safer. Because it's the right thing to do. Outward transformation, behavior, is cosmetic. Inward transformation, change, is intrinsic. It becomes a part of who you are. You don't have to work on the behavior because the behavior is a natural outflow of what is on the inside. It changes who you are, how you think, how you act. It changes everything. There's two ways this works. First, there are verses that will guide you into a decision. They specifically apply. You know, that person really hurt me. Should I forgive them or should I hold a grudge? Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. It's specific, it applies, it's direct. But there are also going to be times that just having God's word in you has changed you to the point where the decisions you make will be godly decisions. You don't have to look up a specific verse because you have been transformed. You are different. Your mind has been renewed. I don't want you to think about following Jesus. Just be a follower of Jesus. We're not after cosmetic changes. Don't change behavior. Change your motivations. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What is he saying there? It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He will show you which path to take. You will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. But here's the thing, if you're going to change on the inside, you've got to change what is inside. I cannot tell you how much value there is in memorizing scripture. And I'm not going to have you raise your hands this morning and ask who has practiced memorizing scripture before. But the statistics are not good when it comes to the church today and followers of Jesus who have a regular discipline of memorizing scripture in their lives. What do you allow in? What dominates your thoughts? What are you filling your life with? How are you programming the most powerful computer ever designed? Get God's word in you. Not just on the surface, but drive it deep. Read it 10 times a day, every day, for 4 consecutive weeks. Write it on your heart. Store it in your heart. Hold on to it. Treasure it. Memorize it. Church, it will change you. It will change everything in your life. Let's get the word in us together. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? We're going to close in prayer.